crazy, 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 crazy. That's like Kung Fu Town. That's what we live. We live in that village that needs to be Shaolin defended village. By the Shaolin. Yes. Hi, this is... Welcome to Kung Fu Theater here on Radio St. Pete. And sometimes other places. Yeah. But mostly Kung Fu Theater from Radio St. Pete. Mm. All right. My name's Mal. With me, as always...
Dr. Morbius.
Who is fighting his way through a chocolate delicious...
A crackle.
Crackle bar. Not sponsored by Crackle, but we could be, if you're listening out there.
You know, I think they only make Crackle in those little novelty bat packs. I don't think they make big Crackle.
Really? I love Crackle.
Yeah. Well, aren't they like Crunch Bars, kind of?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know. Mm. I only know Kung Fu and bad movies.
Mm.
That's what we watch all day, every day, 24/7.
Oh, boy. You got that right.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that hard liquor you gave me. Yes. I went down, you know.
Chocolate and liquor.
Oh, man. So we're visiting the Shaolin Temple again for fourth week in a row.
You want Kung Fu. You better be prepared for some Shaolin mania. It's running wild, brother.
Yeah, I'm... Whoa! Oh, okay. That's nothing.
That's the Shaolin Temple calling, saying that there's some royalty checks that we need to send them if they.
Yeah. Please.
Another visit to Shaolin world. This is called the 18 Bronzemen.
I thought that the 18 Bronzemen were going to be. I mean, they were impressive. I thought they were getting more throughout the movie, but they were only like in a certain part of the movie. But they were impressive, and they.
This is a very cerebral movie this week. Lots of intrigue and craziness, and boy, when that gal shows up, more humps per square inch than you can. In case you're new to the show, I have a theory that the earlier a girl goes in a Kung Fu movie directly correlates to how good or bad it is, and it's about halfway through they meet this girl, and instead of ending a sentence with a period, she ends a sentence with every sentence, every time, all day, every day. It's like, wow.
But at the beginning, when she appears, they keep calling her sir, and I'm like, are you blind or something?
This is later in the movie. We're kind of just talking about stuff for this first act. Kung Fu movies do this quite often. I even tried to search it out online, and I couldn't find any reasonable answer. For some reason, a lot of Kung Fu movies, they'll introduce a girl... usually a girl fighter into the movie, and everyone says him, and boy, he's really good at fighter, and I don't know what he's doing, and he sure has strong kung fu, and you're like, this is obviously a woman. And this is no different, where they, boy, he sure is a strong fighter, I'm going to go fight him, and she speaks like a girl. She looks like a girl.
She has makeup, eyeliner like a girl.
Boobs like a girl. You know, and you're like...
If it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's not a duck.
It's one of those things that's just kind of in the kung fu world, and everyone watches it and shrugs and goes, all right.
It's in the lexicon of fu.
I guess they don't understand it's a girl yet.
Or something. But,
I guess they didn't train for that in the Shaolin Temple.
They have been in the Shaolin Temple for all of his 18 years before he got out of there. I guess he didn't see too many women.
I guess we can get into it a little bit. The movie starts out, old haggard woman dragging a child behind her in tow and goes to the abbot, the head Shaolin guys, and it's kind of like, would you please take this kid, I don't know,
he doesn't have any parents.
Nope, everyone's been killed. There was a raid, and
I can't take care of him anymore.
And she gives like a false story, kind of, we find out later. But originally they're just kinda like, and they're like, well, if he comes here, he's gotta be here until he can pass the test to leave. And she's like, I understand. And here's this lady, and she's like, she gives him a broken necklace, and she said, when you see the jade, you can come see me. And he's like, oh, okay. Like a little 4-year-old kid. And he's like, okay. Bye, Grandma. I love you. And she's like, yeah, well, bye. And it was a pretty touching scene, to be honest with you. The kid was lost his parents, just with his grandmother. The only thing he knows and the only security and love he actually knows. So for her to leave, the kid cried. It was a pretty powerful scene, I thought.
It was sad.
It was sad because you're like, it was like Rosebud saying goodbye to innocence, so and then it's just down to it, man. Now, flash forward, enough of that crap. Here's push-ups and punched and getting kicked and punched. And the greatest moment of my life, one of them, the sidekick who's kind of bullying him and picking on him, the second his face came on screen, I was like, I know who that
That's
is.
Carter Wong from Big Trouble in Little
Big
China.
Trouble Line, he was Thunder in Big Trouble in Little China. Yeah, yeah. I can help you. I say that all the time. There's a part in Big Trouble in Little China where they're like, they're trying to fake their way into this place and no one's buying it. And Thunder comes walking out, you know, in a suit, and he puts up his hand and he goes, I can hap you. He's chewing. He can't say help. So he says hap. And I've said that my whole life since I've ever seen that. Like whenever someone's doing something, I'm like, I can hap you. And they look at me puzzled because no one knows my stupidity.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Except me. And the second he showed up, I was like, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, Carter Wong. Yeah.
Like what, a mere 11 years before. Because I think it was 87 when Big Trouble came out.
Was it 87? Was it that long?
Okay. I think it might have been 86.
Okay.
But 10 or 11 years, and it was like, oh, yes. No, yeah. This was 79.
This is 76.
76. Okay, yeah. So it was like 10 or 11 years, you know.
Okay.
He got a lot bigger. He was a muscular guy, but he wasn't steroidy, huge big guy. Like, okay. I mean, I don't know if he did steroids. He was pretty darn big in that. Big Trouble in Little China.
You know, that's a movie we could probably do for Kung Fu Theater.
Oh, I love Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah.
That's going to be the follow-up next week. No, not next week, but soon.
Soon, yeah.
Big Trouble in Little China, because I love Big Trouble in Little China.
So, yeah, so he's like his kind of, becomes like his side protector or
he's
something like that.
He picks on him a lot, but he's
trying to get him.
He's getting tougher.
Motivate him.
Yeah, because he also has a doughy sidekick who is more like a Three Stooges partner. Like they're serious, but he's not.
And it's like a
good
three
influence.
Friends, you know. It's like a trio of guys or whatever. They're friends.
You know, Thunder, Carter Wong, who's gigantic and like he's obviously the best of the school. And then you have our hero, he's trying really hard, but nothing. It's not coming real super easy. He has to work really hard for everything he gets, you know.
Yeah.
Which is a good storyline, you know.
Yeah.
And then his goofball friend.
Goofball friends. So then Carter Wong ends up, he gets through the Shaolin temple, but then like the other guy decides he wants to go and take the test to get out of Shaolin, because you have to get to take a test.
Right, well there's a lot of montages with the fighting and you got to do better, and then
they do
a lot of that stuff where they're sitting in a bell while it's gonging
and blood's coming
out of their nose and stuff, and I was like, you're not very good, and then...
Yeah, they'll do Shaolin torture on them.
Yeah, they're trying to do all this stuff here and there, and it's kind of really like, you see so much of it, it's just like kind of normal.
It's like Rocky training.
Yeah, it's just montage kind of stuff, and you're like, okay. And a lot of the, like, standing on poles, and then they learn how to, you know, lifting huge boulders and some of that, so.
And then they learn how to pole dance, and, you know.
Yeah, well, we got to make money, make it rain, man,
you know.
So, and then at this point, I think the reason that Carter Wong takes the test is because he wants to, because he looks at his jade and he sees the jade writing. So now he's like, I got to go see my grandmother. And he's like, well, you're not going to see your grandmother until you pass through the test.
Well, that's not Carter Wong. That's the other guy.
Yeah, the other guy. But
yeah, right.
That's why he goes to him. Because initially he wants to go home, our hero. And his goofball friend wants to go with him. And he's not, this guy isn't very good at Kung Fu, you know. And so Carter Wong says, no, I'll go with you. Just you go back.
He already got through it. He goes, no, you go take your test. And that's when they go through the bronze men guy.
Yeah, the bronze men. And he fails horribly the first time.
Yeah, the first time he failed. I thought that the second time he was going to fail at the end, but I guess he took enough of a beating where they said, okay, well, you kept getting up for it. You know, he messes it up the first time.
Yeah.
And they got to, like, you know.
We'll take a break and then we come back. We'll get into more about the actual testing and also the part where they were digging their hands in the sand.
Yeah.
I've seen that and I know people do that and they actually do that with rocks.
Yeah, I've seen that in other movies.
And it's a real practice.
Isn't it like hot rocks or something too?
No, so, I mean they can, but it's really just to kill all the nerves in your hands so you don't feel anything anymore.
Oh, so you can punch through bricks and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, but I wouldn't advise it. All right, so we'll be right back.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Charlie.
Can the world heavyweight boxing champion match his fists against the lethal masters of the martial arts? Bamboo gods and iron men. From Harlem to Hong Kong and across the China Sea, they fear the name, the fame, and the fury of Black Cal Jefferson, the champ. He matched a left hook and a right cross against the skills of the Kung Fu killers and hit them right where they live, in the land of bamboo gods and iron men, where the naked fist is deadlier than a bullet. Black Cal Jefferson, he carved a path of vengeance and violence across the land of bamboo gods and iron men. From American International, rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Oh, good grief.
All right. Good ideas. Bamboo gods. Bamboo gods and Iron Men. Yes.
Not Iron Man. Not Tony Stark.
Or, yes.
Plural. Iron Men.
Iron Men.
Which could be the next Iron Man movie for all I know, but
I don't
what do
care.
I know?
Yeah.
Who cares? I don't watch those. Yeah. Those comic book movies anyway. I don't even read the comic books anymore. Not the new ones anyway. I read the old ones because they're better.
Really? You don't read any of the new stuff?
No. Well, rare. Really. I like my comic books cheap and on crappy paper.
There you go. So not expensive.
Like my women. Whatever that means.
It means nothing. I don't know.
Anyway.
So back to it. So now this is the part where now he's tried to go into this, the challenge of getting out of Shaolin is to defeat the 18 bronze men. And you're like, huh, okay, that's a little twist. And these just kind of pop, they're walking through like almost like an Indiana Jones set. And then these things just pop up. You know, and
the first couple are like robots. Like,
they're like big, heavy robots.
Yeah.
And neat sound effects. The Foley artwork was great, where it was a lot of the chang, 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 chang.
Yeah,
and
they're
hitting this brass, and they're punching it and punching it. And he fails miserably the first time, which they were like, you could lose. They were kind of serious, saying you could die doing this, but he didn't die. I mean, I think they were just like, you know.
Yeah, right. They just said, like,
probably one dude died one time, so now they have to disclaimer it every time, saying, oh, you could die, you know, because this dude fell backwards.
Shaolin, not responsible for any death.
Exactly.
And, dual disclaimer.
Exactly. Shaolin disclaimers will get you every time.
Before you go into the chamber of the 18 bronze men, please read this.
Visit our Shaolin HR department.
Yeah, right.
Where
you sign some paper and say, like,
yep.
Hey.
Not responsible for you falling on your own sword. Anyway, so they go in, and he goes into this, because he fails, they put him into this healing stuff, but then they just go right back again. They're like, it's almost, there's a little bit of recovery time, but they just kind of go back.
Yeah, because we're already, like, at this point, we're already, like, 35, 40 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, this, at first, I started thinking this was going to be the movie.
I did, too. I didn't think there was going to be a second part.
But then, yeah, then they get out of this. They get through this, and then it's, like, on to their actual movie, which is a revenge tale. So it's almost like you're getting two movies for the price of one. Two shorter movies. So they go through this, and each one of these chambers offers a new twist on the bronze man, you know. And the Thunder, Carter Wong, he's going through it pretty easily. He'll take a couple shots here and there, but he's better. He's the best guy in this. He gets through it, and then after each one, they say he says thank you, teacher, even though he's gotten beat up by them, or he beats them up, and then they say you can pass. So they get through it, and then the other guys, our hero, is kind of trailing behind him. He's not going through it as fast, but he is getting through it. And then we cut to this weird. In the middle of this, we also cut to an evil guy. You're introduced to the bad guy who has all these little gold bronze models of these bronze warriors. And he's like, those Shaolin, we got to kill them. They're going up against the Qin army, and we can't have that.
Yeah, the Ming and the Qing.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with that other word, which is
exactly. Not to be said here. And then he goes, but we have a mole. And you're like, okay, So you go, okay, so now there's some intrigue, but not a whole lot.
There's some political intrigue going on.
They say it, but that's about the end of it. And you're like, okay. So put that in your pocket, because that's going to come. We'll dust that off a little bit later. So now,
foreshadowing.
Yeah.
As they
so
say.
So now they get to the end. Our hero's gotten beat up pretty bad. Thunder kind of walked through it because he's Thunder. And the very last one, there's this burning pot kettle in front of a door. And they're like, oh, this is the last test. And he lifts it up. One at a time, they had to walk up. They lift it up and they carry it on their arms. And this is a trope that we've seen numerous times where Shaolin masters have dragons burned on their forearms. The last test is you have to carry the burning kettle, which puts the dragon dragon tattoos on your arms. Oh, isn't that neat? So then he does it, and it goes through, and then it resets, and then our hero does it. So then they both get out. Yay, we passed. There are the three abbots standing there. Hey, abbots! And then and then they bow down, and they're like, okay, now you have to remember, don't be a dick, and make sure you're a good guy. And
look both ways across the street.
Exactly.
And don't take candy from strangers.
Eat only gluten-free food, your gluten will... I don't even know what gluten is.
Yeah, wear protection when you go out on a date.
Yes, they gives them those things, and they said, we will honor you, and blah, blah, blah. And then off they go. So now they just tra-la-la, and they
Now they go, and then the guy goes, well, I have to go back to my village. He wants to go back and see his family.
Yeah, he has... The whole reason he's going is to go see his grandmother, go back to his village. And at that point, Thunder's like, well, I have my own little thing to do, so, you know, we'll meet up at the Golden... Flower or the flower blossom in some city, you know, in 2 weeks.
To the local McDonald's.
Yep, we'll meet up at the McDonald's, we'll grab a coffee, and then we'll go.
Yeah.
Done and done. So they split off, and then now our hero goes to this village. It's all downtrodden, and he's like, where's my grandmother? And then this dude's like, oh, huh, you're here, huh?
You've been gone for a while, haven't you?
Yeah. Bad news bears for you, bro. She's long dead.
Yeah.
And but I have something to show you. And then he goes and he digs out this treasure chest. And you're thinking, wow, is he rich? No, it's just filled with stuff. So
memorabilia.
Yeah, memorabilia. He's like, sell this on eBay. This is one of two. It's very valuable.
Yeah, very valuable.
No, so then this is where kind of it all unfolds. Now, your second movie, boom, magic second movie. He's like, oh, well, you're not really that guy we said. You're the son of the great general that was killed by the Qings.
Because he wouldn't marry
something. Yeah, because he wouldn't marry into their family and betray his emperor.
So we killed him.
So, and he was killed, so we saved you. Here's his sword, here's a proclamation, here's a piece of jade, go
get your revenge.
Go avenge. Go get your revenge on. And he said, okay, I will. And there was a flashback showing the dad getting slaughtered, and the mother's holding the baby, this little baby, our hero.
Yeah, ninjas show up in this too. Yeah. Ninjas are everywhere. Yeah.
Ninja mania, running wild, brother.
Yeah. I thought it would be in the 80s, but in the 70s, they were kind of testing the waters.
Saying, like, how far can we push this ninja movement?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
And, the mother's getting, like, ninja stars in the back over and over and arrows and stuff. And then that's when the uncle, who was the guy giving him the chest, he's like, oh, I'll save the baby. And the dad's fighting him off. He's like, oh, save my son and make sure you remember me in flashback. And then they're like, okay, we will. We promise.
Yeah, because when he gave him the parchment, and when he starts reading the images, the text or whatever you want to call it, he starts getting the flashbacks. I was like, I was kind of lost for a second, going, huh? And I went, oh, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of that fancy wavy stuff that lets you know they're in a flashback.
No, it was just like, boom. It's like, did
smash
I miss a
cut,
scene?
Flashback. That's what you're like, huh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Weird. All
right.
Yeah, so, you know, and this was like a interesting that they introduced this kind of thing, because it was like a reason to kind of move forward. Now, this is more of the standard, go avenge your father's death. He was killed for nothing. He was a really good guy. Everyone really loved him. So, you know, there's that whole shtick. And he says, okay. And it's neat because the dad fought with a flexible sword, which I have one. They're neat. I've never seen one this flexible because it's actually the belt. So the it wraps around you, and then the handle's like the belt buckle, and you like pull it out, and the whole thing, the sword unravels. They're usually not that flexible, but it's a movie, so props, you know. They're very interesting swords compared to the katana, the Japanese sword, samurai swords, which are pretty darn slice-tastic. You know, the flexible ones are, if you know how to use them, they're good, but...
So he goes into town and meets his buddy Carter Wong.
Yeah, but first he goes to get something to eat. Oh, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, then it's the third act, and get
act
ready
three,
for more hoops for
yeah,
more hoops
right.
for squares than any other movie.
When that dude shows up, which isn't a dude.
Yeah, that dude with boobs shows up. Man, he's hot. All right, we'll be right back.
The most fantastic weapon of all time is the flying guillotine. Few men have ever been able to operate this death-dealing device, and only one was the master of the flying guillotine. Seymour Bordy and Associates presents The Master of the Flying Guillotine, filmed in Super Cinevision, rated R. Master of the Flying Guillotine. One sure way to get ahead.
Wake up. Time to die.
All right. Master of the Flying Guillotine is one of my personal favorites.
Yep.
So are you ready to punch and kick and kung fu fight your way into the third act?
Yes, we are.
All right. Yes. So now our hero is sitting by himself, you know, ordering a vegetarian dish because, you know, they made a point of making sure that, you know, that the Shaolin only eats vegetarian. No wine, just some hot tea. And there's a really idiotic... arrogant, like noisy, boisterous
person
up at the top. Like these grapes are stale, or these olives, and throws them down from the second floor and hits
our
hero.
Yeah.
And then this wine isn't any good. There's ants in it or something weird. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
She throws that on him. And he's like, hey, you. Hey, listen, you.
And then the guy says, no, don't go up there and bother him. Don't go up there and bother him. And he's like, what are you talking about? He goes, no, I don't want any fight in here or something like that.
Yeah.
But he ends up getting pissed and goes up there.
Yeah, he's like, oh.
And the other quote-unquote dude.
Yeah, the guy, who's obviously a girl.
She's like, so you want to fight me? And he's like, yeah, all right. So they start fighting each other.
Yeah,
you know?
And
she's got a fan.
And she goes, oh, but I got to tell you, I fight to the end. Like, that means you owe me your life if you know, this. And this was really annoying. They ran this into the ground a little bit much with this. And then she had a metal fan, which is a very potent weapon in real life. They usually they're made of fabric, but the spines are metal.
They can hurt
And they can hurt you bad. So she's fighting with that, and then Thunder shows up. He's like, whoa, let's settle down. Everyone just take it back a notch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he's like, let's go. And she goes, she goes, hey, you owe me, you're mine now. I own you. And he's like, huh? Don't you remember? I said, if I didn't kill you, you were mine. And he's like, huh? And then they leave, and he's like, just forget it. Get out of here. And then they go out. And they're trying to ditch her. And
they're going to fight
They go on a boat.
They go on a boat.
And then she jumps onto the boat. She's like, oh, good
from
thing.
From like 100 feet away, because he's a hell of a jumper. She should be in the Olympics.
Yeah, right.
Fact.
Ugh. Yeah, so she jumps on the boat, and she's like, oh, good thing I didn't hold you up. And she's being really sly. And he's like, oh, I hate you so much. And then they go to another place, and then he's arguing. And then this fortune teller comes and, like, hits our hero with, like, darts. Like, he's like, oh, I got your fortune right here. And he hits the bottom, and darts fly into his heart. And they're like... And then
she kills him.
And she gets really angry, and she like, beats the heck out of this guy and jumps up on the thing. And when she jumps up, half of the heart falls out, half of a jade heart. And when you put them together, then you have a flashback again, and it's like, whoever has the other half of his heart, that's your wife. And he's
even
like,
if it's a guy?
Yeah. Wah, wah, oh. And then he's like, oh, and he's like kind of in shock. And she's like, yeah, I knew it all along. I saw you. I knew you were supposed to be my husband. I'm going to take care of you now. Because he has darts hanging out of his heart. And then they come down.
Because he's been put a hit on.
Yeah.
As soon as you get into town.
Everyone knows who he is.
Everybody knows who he is. And the Mings. Or
The Chins. Yeah, they sent everyone. And then no, I know it's Chins because I made the
no, you're right.
I made the Austin Powers. I got more Chins than a Chinese phone book.
So
he's getting healed up, and then the goofball friend shows up, and you're like, that friend couldn't have passed the 18 bronze.
And he's got his like Nazi bag all with him.
Yeah,
which is, I guess, the Shaolin bag. If you didn't know, it looks
Here's a little hint. You're gonna see a lot of Nazi signs in the kung fu movies.
That's because the Nazi sign was actually stolen from the Buddhist sign. They just turned the they flipped it and rotated it 45 degrees.
They basically turned that frown upside down.
Yes, they did. So these are not Nazi symbols. They are Buddhist symbols. So now this guy shows up, and you're like, I don't think he would have passed that thing. But he did, which means that he had help, which means that the chins, that's the chins mole. So he got out, and he's like, oh, okay. And they get attacked by a ninja. And this ninja,
that night, yeah.
Yeah, that night.
By ninja.
And this ninja's doing pretty good until Thunder just gets sick of it and starts wailing on him, which I was like, yes, finally. You know, because he hurt the girl, he hurt him, like more, you know, there's more pain in stuff. So finally Thunder beats him up and beats him down pretty good and pulls the mask off, and there it is. It's our goofy friend.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you're a traitor. You're the one that's been... And then... Well, not yet. Okay, later. I was going to say, later, when he's carrying his Thunder, he's flashing back to all the times that Thunder like did something mean, and it was always to save him from
the other
guy. The other guy offered him ginger, which was poison.
That's right, I forgot about
the
that.
Other guy didn't push him down into the medicine where then.
That's right, I forgot
so he
about that.
Was always
he was his protector.
Thunder
then,
was
then,
always his protector.
And then it turns out, I think, at some point that Thunder basically. The kid's parents were killed, but the bodyguard, I think, of the
that's the son.
He's the son.
Yeah.
So he was sent by the bodyguard of the parents to the Shaolin Temple to watch out for this guy.
Yeah. So because the our hero's dad, who was murdered,
you
had
don't
a body.
Find that out until later,
yeah, had a bodyguard. The bodyguard, who was so guilt ridden because he failed, put his son in Shaolin to protect him. So that's why he's there. So anyway, now they're on the road to nowhere. They go and they're fighting. They go for revenge. This guy shows up, but then there's like 10 of them.
Yeah, the main guy.
The main bad guy. This is like the end scene. But the main guy has like doppelgangers everywhere. So there's all these guys going, meh, meh, no, I'm the chin. And you're like, oh boy. And they dispatch some of these guys, and some of them just keep fighting and fighting and fighting. And this scene was pretty long.
It did go on for about 10 minutes.
And I was like, you really should not be this long. And also, they weren't doing so good against him.
No, they were getting their butts kicked.
All three of them? I'm
all
like,
three
wait,
of them
three
were.
Of them? Even the girl who was a pretty tough cookie? Okay, you know.
So they're dispatching some of them, but then at the end we get the basically like the main fight between Carter Wong and Thor Thunder and the real bad guy. So they're fighting, I think, and the guy's like got like a sword. You could tell this blind guy or whatever throws him this like,
this
wicked
guy
sword.
Walks up with a wooden box and is just standing there like at attention holding this box while they're fighting. And then finally, like after things get a little bit rough for the chin, he goes, my sword, and he throws it up in the air, and then the guy grabs it, and then he comes down with the sword. Now it's really on like Donkey Kong, as the kids don't say.
Yeah.
So, you know, then this is where like the our hero and his gal are kind of like got pushed aside.
And it's a main fight.
And it's a main fight between Thunder and Chin. And Thunder runs him through. Chin runs the sword through Thunder from behind. But he has this little golden tiger.
Yeah, which stops it from being
able
to pull
it out.
He
clamps down on it, so he can't pull his sword out.
And then the other two.
Yeah, they just finish him off. They just, like, power strike his throat.
Yeah, they had to get him a few times. They go get him in the throat. The girl finally did. I think either she did it with the thing or the guy did it or
both.
Whatever.
Both. And they would, like, take turns. Because that was one of the coolest parts of the Bronze Man was there was all these, like, pressure point techniques and all that stuff. And like they would have these like robotic guy like Bronze Man kind of coming at him in the hallways, and they had to like hit him only into the pressure points to stop him, and that's how they stopped him, you know. So then he's remembering back to his training, and so they killed him. And then when he was carrying his dead friend, because Thunder is like, well, that's when he expounds.
Yeah,
I was the son of your dad's bodyguard. He was so grief stricken because he didn't do his job. He sent me, so that's why I grew up beside you, protecting you. And then that's as he's walking back carrying his buddy's dead body and his girl's by his side, he's remembering all the times that he thought Thunder was being mean or bullying him, but really he was just always protecting
him. Just protecting him and getting him into shape. So
kind of a cool story.
It's a fun story. It was a good movie.
It was a great movie. I liked it quite a bit. It was one of those ones that you don't hear about a lot, but it was one of the first ones by this famous director. I forget what his name is.
I read about him today. But
yeah, he did a lot of very famous movies, and this was the one that kind of was like the aha moment in his career. And then after that, it patterned off of this one, and kind of he morphed and got better and better. But this is the one that like broke him through. So it was a good, really good.
And there's like a return of the bronze men and the bronze women.
Well, once they get something, they don't let it go.
It was an interesting twist.
Yeah.
You know.
Even the Man with the Iron Fist fights Dave Bautista, who his power is when he's fighting, he flexes and turns into bronze.
Yeah, there you go.
And you can't get beat because.
There you go. That's
Dave Bautista made out of metal. No thanks. He'll get the Terminator to help you kill him because you need it. But so it's one you probably wouldn't hear of, but definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It was a great movie and a great copy on YouTube.
Yeah, it was decent. Yeah, yeah.
I watched it on my big TV and it was beautiful. So
cool.
What do you give this one?
I give it like an 8. I liked it.
Yeah, I'm going to say 8 with me as well. Solid performance. Funny sometimes.
Yeah.
Serious a lot of times. It was a very serious movie. It wasn't like a nudge-nudge wink at the camera kind of thing. It was a solid kung fu movie, you know.
Because
believe it or not, we kick around a lot of different ideas, like even like Kung Fu Hustle, and like we just had said,
Kung Fu
Trouble,
Panda.
Big Trouble in Little China. It is a kung fu movie.
Yeah, but...
But you wouldn't watch it. But there's a lot out there that is technically kung fu, but this is just like one of those hardcore, straight-up, real, from the period, from the genre... with the stars, you know?
Yep.
Good stuff.
Yep, it's good stuff. Yeah.
All right, that's it for this week. We've rambled on long enough. My name's Matt, with me as always.
Dr. Morbius.
And we will see you next week with more Kung Fu Glory. Wah!